This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks for your company today. I'm back in Vík on the south coast of Iceland, and I want to explore something that we've not really talked about on RÚV English Radio, which is the English Language Council that exists here in the town and the municipality. And as the name suggests, it allows for council business or some council business to take place in English because there are so many people of non-Icelandic and English-speaking origin here in Vík and the surrounding area. Hilary Tricker is my guest today. She works full-time as a horse-riding guide. She's also a freelance graphic designer. But you have been involved in this English-speaking council as well. Hello.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Likewise, so me later. So tell me about your involvement with the council then, or when you first became aware of it, I guess.
So I think it's been going on for just over a year, maybe a year and a half. And to start with, I was a substitute member, so if someone else couldn't go to one of the meetings, then I would step in. But sort of still trying to keep up to date with what was going on even when I wasn't there, and recently, due to someone else dropping out, I'm now a full-time member, as it were. So we meet once a month and try and get a sort of overview of what's going on in the town to keep the information flow between immigrants who maybe don't speak Icelandic and then the sort of government level type things going on, to try and keep that pathway open.
Yes, and the debates and the discussions then at the English Language Council, which happen once a month, as you say, do they feed into what you might call the main council decisions?
Yes, yeah, so we'll often give a sort of thing, maybe action points or something that we want to be discussed in another council, or we'll discuss things that have been discussed in other councils to maybe give a different perspective from English-speaking people in the town.
It was the first of its kind in Iceland, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. Miðdalsskreppur has around 60% residents of foreign origin, and the national average is around 15%. Mm. So that's why it's kind of cropped up in Vík, I think, because we're a bit of a unique situation at the moment. Certainly some of the other areas of Iceland are heading in this direction as well, but ours is very noticeable.
Why do you think that is? In this part of Iceland, there are so many people who come from other countries.
I think it sort of snowballs with the tourism and hospitality jobs. Often people come, they think, oh, I'll do a summer working in Iceland, then maybe they come back next summer, they bring a friend, they maybe have a partner then at that point, and then you often end up with these little bubbles in certain workplaces where everyone knows each other, maybe from the same town back in Czechia or Poland, and it's known as a place where you can get work as an immigrant.
Yes. And going back to the council then, it was controversial with some people, wasn't it? The idea that in Iceland a council would be set up that did its business to any extent in a language other than Icelandic. And the response to those who said, well, there are many people from different countries, was, okay, fine, but learn Icelandic. And I'm sure everyone is doing what they can to learn Icelandic. But there was some controversy, I think, about the council.
Yeah, I think so. But it's almost one of the things we're trying to address is the language learning.
Yeah.
It comes up in nearly every meeting we have. Because the sort of the traditional way of learning Icelandic is maybe two evenings a week, 6 till 8 p.m.
Yeah.
That's what you sign up for. You can get money back from the union. But for, I'd say, the majority of immigrants in Vík, if you're working in shift work, in hospitality, you don't know what days you're working each week. Maybe it's like a changing schedule. Often you're working in the evenings, so you can't sign up for these traditional language lessons. So it's something we're really looking at, is can we do something different here? And maybe Vík has to be the first to offer something different, like drop-in sessions, or to try and help the language learning.
Yes. How's that progressing? Because I know that national government, okay, we've just had a change of government, but it is government policy very broadly to expand Icelandic learning. A lot of people think it's not been expanded enough, but that's the broad principle. How are you progressing then as an English language council with making that happen here in Vík?
So one thing that we're trying to do is look at perhaps hiring sort of like a language and culture person for the town who could perhaps as part of this do language classes, or, you know, look at like cultural events for inclusion and diversity and that kind of thing, to try and activate that area of the community more.
Your work with horses will bring you into contact with tourists, I guess.
All day, every day.
Quite a lot. Are they surprised when they find so many people in the town who speak English or don't speak Icelandic?
Yeah, often we will have guests who say, oh, I haven't met anyone Icelandic yet.
Apart from the horses, maybe.
Yeah, I think that is quite common in tourism and hospitality across Iceland, that, you know, the frontline workers often are of foreign origin.
If somebody wants to get involved then, if they're in this town or if they're in this municipality and that English is their first language and they want to be involved in that language, in that way at the council level, how can they? What's the process?
Well, they can always come and talk to us. And one thing that we're doing at the moment, we're working on an inclusion policy. And so part of that, we're having meetings with various parts of the community. So we had one where anyone could come along and we were talking about, you know, strengths and weaknesses in the town, how we can maybe improve inclusion and diversity. So that's a way you can get involved. Also hoping to do them with like major employers in the town, the tourism companies, and maybe have some sort of resident meetings and that, where we can really try and get people involved.
And do you have open meetings, town meetings in English?
I don't think we've had one yet, but I think it's, you know, something that we're looking at, because there is trying to really increase the participation of people who might not otherwise participate if everything was Icelandic. That's really what we're aiming for.
Do you know if there's interest in any other part of Iceland, any other municipalities, in this idea?
I believe some of the other ones on the south coast, because I think Skaftafreppa is the next highest percentage of non-Icelanders. And we did go for a meeting, I think it was Bygdarsjóður or the Rural Development Council, up in the Westfjords. We went to a meeting of that earlier in the year. And I think it's people are becoming more aware of it, and because there has been a bit of media attention for our councillors, we was the first. Maybe it's something that other municipalities are going to look at more. Obviously, if they only have 5% immigrants, maybe it's less of a thing that they want to look at. But if they're getting to 20, 30, 40%, then maybe it will be something that will spring up more.
Yes, and I can't imagine it takes up much of the municipality's budget. This can't be an expensive.
I hope not. And I hope they think it's worth it.
Yeah, and it sounds like it would pay for itself in the end, I guess.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of people who come to Iceland, maybe, and me myself, I only expected to be here 6 months, and now I've been here nearly 7 years. And so all of us who were on the English-speaking council were in a similar situation. And then you start realizing, okay, I'm here a long time, I'm investing in this place, and you want to kind of be part of it. But because I work in tourism, I don't get daily Icelandic practice, I'm not fluent in Icelandic. And so then it's that kind of wanting to be involved, but not being able to, because my Icelandic isn't quite there. And it's, you know, I want to improve, but also I don't want to wait another 5-10 years before I get involved in my community in that level. So
it's really interesting you say, because you're in one of those jobs where, despite doing it in Iceland, you're not in contact with Icelandic very much.
So on a daily basis, I don't really speak Icelandic, because all my colleagues are from other European countries. Our common language is English.
Most of your guests will be non-Icelandic.
All of our guests, pretty much. They're either from the US, so we speak English to them, or from other European countries, so we speak English. The common language is English.
Yeah.
So not having that daily practice in Icelandic, I think, is where I then find it difficult to become fluent.
Yes. All right, we'll put a link up to the council on the page accompanying this show from Roof English Radio for now. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
It's Roof English Radio. This is Darren Adam, and you can get in touch with us anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from RÚV English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.